verse 3. James chapter 3, verse 3. Also, you'll turn to the back of your bulletin and you will see 3 John verse 11. That's where we left off at the first session, so we're going to get back to that particular study. Third John, verse 11. You can see it on the back of your bulletin. You will also see it on the screen before you. Magnificent passage of Scripture that carries us in relationship to our study in James chapter 3. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. As always, realizing the importance of being in fellowship with our Lord as we study His Word. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A magnificent passage of Scripture that assures us that when we admit our faults and failures and sins, God forgives us and cleanses us. And when He does that, we're filled with the Spirit of God. We cannot properly study God's Word if we're not in harmony with the Lord. And for that reason, we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our Scripture reading and our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful again for Your wonderful grace. We're the recipients of Your grace in every area of life, and we are thankful that we are Your children. We're thankful that You've given us another opportunity to focus our minds upon eternal truths. That's our purpose and reason for being here today, to receive the mind, the thinking of our Savior. Help us to be desirous always of having the thinking of our Lord so that we can have victory and triumph in life. We pray and thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3, we're going to begin our reading with verse 2 and read down through verse 6. James chapter 3, verse 2 through verse 6. We're reading today the J.B. Phillips translation, a magnificent translation of these verses. James chapter 3, verse 2 goes like this. We all make mistakes in all kinds of ways. But the man who can claim that he never says the wrong thing can consider himself perfect. For if he can control his tongue, he can control every other part of his personality. I'm sure that you can see that James chapter 3 verse 2 is a shocking passage of Scripture. We've analyzed this verse in past days. We are aware of the fact that from the original language there's an emphasis upon if, and the if is a emphasis upon assumption. If it could be possible, which it cannot be, if it could be possible for a person to control the tongue, then they would be able to control everything else in life. You and I are the recipients of an old sinful nature. When we were born physically alive and spiritually dead, which simply means that when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God moved us into a magnificent and wonderful position. That means then that after salvation or regeneration, we have the human spirit. Before that, we were dichotomous, body and soul. After conversion, regeneration, we became body, soul, and spirit. Even though we were the recipient of the human spirit, it did not mean that the old sinful nature was eradicated. It was not taken away. So we're living today with a problem. And the problem is that we still have a sinful nature. That's the reason why James 3:2 says we all make mistakes. It says we make mistakes in all different kinds of ways. How true that is. If an individual could claim that he never says anything wrong, He could consider himself, she could consider herself as a perfect, sinless individual, but it cannot be done. For if a person could control their tongue, then every other part of their personality could be controlled. Now James chapter 3, verse 3, our verse for today. Men control the movements of a large animal, like the horse, with a tiny bit placed in its mouth. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that in the first session today, we exegeted that verse and gave a tremendous amount of information on a lot of different words. We're not going to do that or recapitulate that now. Verse 4 of James chapter 3. Ships too, for all their size and the momentum that they have, with a strong wind behind them, are controlled by a very small rudder, according to the course chosen by the helmsman. The human tongue, verse 5, is physically small, but what tremendous effects can be set ablaze by a tiny spark of fire. And the tongue is as dangerous as any fire, with vast potentialities for evil. We will get there. We're not there yet, but we will get to verse 4 and verse 5. Can you see, though, in verse 5 that it says that the human tongue is a small member? What tremendous effects it can boast of. A whole forest can be set ablaze by a tiny spark of fire, and the tongue is as dangerous as any fire, with vast potentialities for evil. And if you remember, as we left the first session today, our emphasis was upon the difference between sin on the one hand and evil on the other hand. Verse 6 says, it can poison the whole body. It can make the whole life a blazing hell. On the screen you have 3 John verse 11. Let me repeat, beloved, agapete, beloved ones, follow not the evil. I need to remind you, which I did not in the first session, that the word M-I-M-O-U is also the word from which we get our English word mime, mimic. I didn't tell you that, but I'll share that with you now. Follow, mime, not the evil, but the good. Let me show you again that the word evil is the word K-A-K-O-N. Kakon, coming from the Greek word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. K-A-K-O-S is the word which has O-S, Omicron Sigma, on the end, which lets me know that that word with O-S is used as a subject of the sentence. We don't have that here. We have Omicron Nu, which is O-N, K-A-K-O-N. K-A-K-O-N simply reveals to me the fact the last two letters of the word in the Greek tells me that it is the direct object of the sentence. Direct object of the sentence. Most of you understand the English language enough to know when the word is used as a subject of the sentence, or the word is used to show possession, or if the word is the indirect object of the sentence, or if it is the direct object of the sentence. This word is used as the direct object of the sentence. Beloved ones, believers, mime, follow not the evil. Do not follow that which is evil. Because the present middle imperative verb says, if you do that, you're not going to be benefited thereby. What's interesting is that in the Greek language you have several words for the word not, or the adverb no. One of those is ou, another one is ouk, another one is ouk, and another one is may. What you have on the screen today is the word may, which simply reveals the fact that even though this is an imperative verb, command, the may normally goes with a verb in the subjunctive mood, which means maybe so, maybe no. This says, follow mime, not the evil. Present middle imperative. Continue to not follow that which is satanic. Middle voice, if you are not following good, you're following evil. And if you're following evil, you're not going to be benefited. That's what this verb says. And then it is an imperative verb, which is a command. Beloved, follow not evil. Follow not that which is satanic. But there's the word Allah, A-L-L-A, the good, agathon. Again, that has the O-N at the end, which shows the direct object of the sentence. Follow the good. And the word agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S, is a word which means God's good, intrinsic good, that which God has for us, which is best for us. That's the reason why this is such a fantastic verse of Scripture. Don't follow that which is evil, but follow that which is good. Then the verse goes on to say, the one doing good out from the source of God is. The one doing evil has not seen God. And I've already explained, but I need to tell you again, in case you missed in the first service, that this has not seen God is not an emphasis upon a person losing their salvation. This is an emphasis upon a word which means that they do not have, as a believer, a long look. The word is horao, H-O-R-A-O. You can see it there. H-O-R-A-O, horao. And from that word horao, we get our English word horizon. When we think in terms of the word horizon, it means that you're looking from one side all the way over to the other side. That's the look that is classified as horizon. This is saying that a person who is not advancing, who is under the influence of their sinful nature and under the influence of satanic thinking, they do not have the ability to have God's long look. We've looked at this verse, our verse for today. Behold, if horses bridles into the mouths we put. If we put bridles into the horse's mouth, that they may obey us. And then it goes with not a smooth translation, and them to us and all the body of them we direct. It's always interesting to me, we have a person in our congregation who translates while I'm translating from the Greek, they're translating from the German. And so they give me the translation at the break. I want you to see the translation from the German of James 3:3. When we butt the horses, the bits in the mouths lay there with a obey control. We also their entire body. What's interesting to me about the German translation is, it's like the Greek. It doesn't give us a smooth translation. Did you notice I read this and it didn't sound like a very smooth translation? We put it more smoothly. When we put the bits in the horse's mouths, they obey. Then it says, we also control entire body. Now, I don't want to repeat, because you don't want to hear this, but I told you about Bert and Snip. Most of you folks know that I grew up on a farm, and we were on the farm in the days before the F-12. The F-12 tractor, farm all. I can see that that doesn't mean anything to any of you folks, maybe a few of you. F-12, farmall, on lugs. That's different than on a tire. But before F-12 on lugs, we had Bert and Snip. Those were the animals that pulled our various instruments of cultivation. This says, control their entire body. And you know what? By bridle and bit, my dad was able to control Bert and Snip. Now, there's one thing about you and me is that we have a tongue, and it says it really cannot be controlled all that well. The German translation of 3 John 11, it says, "Beloved, follow not the evil. Follow not after the evil, but the good." Who does good, and I'm smoothing the translation, is from God. I like this because we have an emphasis here upon the fact that we can either be out from the source of God or out from the source of satanic thinking. There are only two kinds of thinking. There's God's thinking, divine thinking, or satanic thinking. If we're not captivated with God's thinking, we are going to be captivated with satanic thinking. When we're captivated with satanic thinking, it is human viewpoint. It is not divine viewpoint. So the translation of 3 John 11 from the German, follow not the evil. Follow not after the evil, but the good. Who does good is out from God, out from the source of God. He who does evil, understood, does not and has not really seen God. And that doesn't mean that they haven't been saved. It means that they do not have the horio. They do not have the long look. All right. Let me go back now to 3 John, verse 11. It's on the back of your bulletin, in case you can't see it from where you're sitting. Beloved, follow not the evil. We're going to stop again on that word evil. But the good. The one doing good is out from the source of God. The one doing evil does not have the long look of God. I only have a few minutes, but let me give you some points. Number one, we're calling this evil or God's Word. If you'll notice in the bulletin, the subject of this second service is spiritual insight and perception. Spiritual insight and perception. Number one, believers are commanded to be influenced by truth, God's Word, and not evil. That's what the verse says that we have on the screen. Be not imitators of evil, but be ye imitators of God and God's good. The one doing absolute good, intrinsic good, is out from the source of God. The one doing evil has not seen nor understands God's truth. You can put it in abbreviated form. Believers are commanded to be influenced by truth. Number two, believers are warned to be aware of those practicing evil. Those who are ruled by their old sinful nature and not by the Spirit of God. There are many verses of Scripture that teach us this. But let me ask you to write down Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Believers are warned, number 2, to be aware of those practicing evil. Could I repeat? Two types of geniuses, two types of thinking. Satan's thinking, God's thinking. If we have God's thinking, we'll have the bulldozer of God's grace scraping off satanic thinking. If we have satanic thinking, then God's thinking is not going to be primary, first place in our lives. That's the reason why we have to understand the difference between evil or truth. Believers, number two, are warned to be aware of those practicing evil. Those who are ruled by their old sinful nature and not by the Spirit of God. Let me give you this verse, Philippians 3:2. It says, beware of the dogs. Now I know we have in this auditorium people who love animals. and they love their dogs. And I don't want to get into any trouble with any of you dog-loving people. We've had dogs, many dogs over the years. I could give you testimonies of the dogs and all of that, but what I want to do now is give you this verse of Scripture. So get over it, will you please? Whatever your attitude is toward dogs, I'm reading the Scripture. Beware of the dogs. Now, I know it's not talking about your dog, so please be understanding. The emphasis here is upon the legalistic individuals who have been presented as legalistic dogs. Let me read on. Beware of dogs. Literally, it means keep looking. Keep your eyes peeled for the legalist. The legalist in this passage of Philippians 3:2 were the Jews who said, in essence, by the fact we're Jews, by the fact we're trying to do good, we're going to work our way to heaven as legalists. Now, we know that you don't work your way to heaven. You know that you don't pay your way to heaven. You're not turning over new leaves at the beginning of the year, and that gets you to heaven. The Jews were the legalists here in this passage of Scripture. And the Lord says, beware of these evil workers. People who are under the influence of evil. Then, this passage of Scripture is so unique because it says, beware of the concision. And I want to stop with you for a moment on that word concision. I don't want to be rude, but I want you to see something. The word circumcision is the Greek word peritome. Now listen carefully to this. The Greek word for circumcision is peritome. Tome is the word cut. Peri is a preposition which means around. Now, not being rude, but I want you to understand that when a male is circumcised, the way that is done is that there is a cutting around. Now, if you understand what I'm telling you, you're going to see what illustration I'll give you next. Peritome means to cut around, and it's translated circumcision. The word that's used here is the word concision. Beware of the concision. A reference to the mutilators of God's grace. Now let me show you how powerful this is. The word concision, or the mutilators of God's grace, is that same word, tome, which means to cut. But it does not have at the prefix, the beginning of it, peri, P-E-R-I. It has kata, K-A-T-A. And kata is a word which means to mutilate. It means to be cut up and down. And this is saying, please get it. This is saying people who put down God's grace are choppers. They're mutilators of God's grace. You see how powerful this is? For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. So when you go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, beware of the concision, a reference to the mutilators of God's grace. Kata tome, the down cutters, the people who are constantly cutting up the grace of God. Let me tell you, we're living in a day where people in churches are cutting up and down the grace of God. If they're telling you you can get to heaven any other way than through Jesus Christ, it's the mutilation of God's grace. If they tell you that you can be saved by baptism, they're telling you, in essence, that they're mutilating the grace of God. So what we're trying to see here is, what does God say? And do we know the difference between evil, satanic thinking and God's thinking. Point two again. Believers are warned to be aware of people in our day practicing evil. Now, let me quickly go. I'm not going to go yet, okay? I don't mean we're going to go. I mean, let's go to the next point. Write it down. What is evil? And I'm going to just give you a list. Don't have time to discuss it. Evil is the thinking of Satan. It's Satan's scheme. It's Satan's methods. Evil is the thinking of Satan. Number two, evil reveals how smart Satan is. Evil reveals Satan's genius. Number three, evil is a sphere of power. A sphere of power. Evil is the involvement of a system that is called satanic, cosmic. Evil distorts grace. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil despises authority, rules, discipline, law and order. That was number six. Evil despises authority, rules, discipline, law and order. In Psalm 50, verse 16, it says, "But unto the evil, God says, what right do you have to distort my truths?" Psalm 50, verse 16. Seven, evil rationalizes and wants to avoid guilt. Evil rationalizes and wants to avoid guilt. In order to rationalize, the conscience must be distorted. And to distort the conscience, the scripture must be set aside. And non-scriptural standards must take its place. That's what's happening in our day. Non-scriptural standards are taking the place of scriptural standards. I believe the next number is eight, right? Evil is destructive. When I wrote this, I put down, it is not only destructive, it is self-destructive. People who are participating in satanic thinking are bringing about trouble for themselves. Evil people often try to solve problems by violence. We're living in that kind of a day. That was number three. What is evil? Number four. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He rejected satanic thinking. In other words, sin was judged and paid for. Evil was not judged or paid for. I've said that a number of times. I repeat it. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ died for sin. He did not die for evil, which is satanic thinking. There are two types of thinking. God's thinking or Satan's thinking. We will either have one or the other. The only way that you can get rid of satanic thinking is to get another type of thinking. It has to be God's Word. So it's either the Word of God or evil. You and I as believers must see the difference. We must be able to see that unless we study God's Word and become saturated with the truth of God's Word, it's normal that our thinking is going to be anything other than divine. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ rejected the thinking of Satan. Sin was judged and paid for. And when you go to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, you will discover that a person who goes to a place of eternal destruction doesn't go there because their sins were not bought and paid for. They go there because they rejected the work of Jesus Christ and they were depending upon their own deeds, their own works. One more point, and we'll have to go. Number five. Both sin and evil have their sources in Satan. Sin and evil have their sources in Satan, but have different sources in the soul. The source of temptation is the sinful nature. The source of sin is volition. The source of evil is the continual rejection of God's thinking. It is accepting the genius of Satan and rejecting the genius of God. Let me give an illustration and then we'll go home. I want you to draw a circle. Put a chair in that circle. And let's say you're on the throne. You're sitting on the chair. And your old sinful nature has been pushed off the throne. Jesus Christ is ruling, controlling your life. Temptation comes. And you have to make a decision what you're going to do with that temptation. The temptation itself is not the sin. But while you're on the throne of your life, as far as Jesus Christ being in charge, you have to make a decision. Your volition, your choice, makes a decision. The temptation is here. The temptation is not a sin. But you, because of your choice being free, you have free will, free volition. You make a decision to sin. And when you make a decision to sin, immediately you move outside of the circle of being in fellowship with the Lord. You're still saved, but you're outside that circle of fellowship. And now, instead of the Lord being in control and the Word of God being in control, your old sinful nature is in control. And you're disobeying God. Disobeying God, you're not filled with the Spirit. You're not utilizing the truth that you've learned in past days. The mature believer, on the other hand, the one residing in that proper sphere of power, can understand the difference between what is sinful and what is evil. And they can understand the manifestation of God's love and God's grace. We have to spend a long time with this before we really, truly understand it completely. But we're at the beginning, and I believe it will help us as we study. I know it's time to go. I just feel like I'm leaving you dangling here. I don't want that. You have to understand the difference between God's thinking and Satan's thinking. And you don't get rid of satanic thinking by prayer. You only get rid of satanic thinking by getting another type of thinking. And you get another type of thinking by doing what we're doing here, studying God's Word and getting the mind of Christ. And that's the reason the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to express my deep thanks for the privilege of going over 8 minutes. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, help us to realize how important it is to see the difference between sin on the one hand and evil on the other. And the more we study this, the more we're able to comprehend it and metabolize it, the better we're able to see what life is really all about. And when we see what life is really all about, we'll find ourselves more victorious and triumphant as we live each day. For those who hear this message by way of the internet, some perhaps have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. May they realize that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. May they trust you even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord of our shame, Lord of our sinful hearts, He is our great Redeemer. Sing to Jesus, honor His name, sing of His faithfulness, pouring His life out unto death. Sing to Jesus.